2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
And hello and welcome to the Hot Sheet Podcast once more. There was a hiatus a little bit, but we're back for more. We have a hot sheet out of nowhere this week, despite the fact that, you know, everybody at BA was at the draft. I decided to take it upon myself to do the entire hot sheet. So capsules 1 through 20 were written by me, and we're a little bit into this podcast and I haven't said who me is, but I'm Josh Norris in North Carolina. That's Jeff Ponce in Massachusetts, back from Seattle, back on the wrong coast, back in the land of humidity. Oh, he's shouting, no, no.
Beast
no.
Coast, baby. Beast Coast all no, day.
East Coast. Is not as good as the West Coast. Not even close.
I'm gonna refrain from any of my comments regarding the West Coast, just to not insult our West Coast listeners.
I'll just say this. You watched the college postseason. How many lightning delays did you have during West Coast games? Bagel. How many lightning delays did you have during all the East Coast games? Infinity symbol. West Coast during the summer better than the East Coast during the summer.
So would you say that the East Coast is electric?
I would not. I would say it's got a lot. It's shocking. If you're really gonna get into a game of puns with me, because I can do this all day. But
you're the Eminem of baseball.
We're here to talk about Hot Sheet, which I constructed from 1 through 20. Because, you know, it was a shorter week because of the 4th of July, but it wasn't a short week. There will be no Hot Sheet this upcoming week since we're on a minor league break until Friday. And I don't think anybody really wants a 3-day Hot Sheet unless it's going to be filled with DSL guys. And I did DSL Bapper this morning. That's Baseball America Prospect Report, but I think it'd be very tricky to do DSL majority hot sheet. So with that in mind, we will start at the top of the hot sheet. And Mr. Ethan Salas, you know, I wrote I've written extensively about Ethan, as extensively as one can write, considering the guy only signed in January. But he's made about as loud as an impression as you can make in 6 months. You know, no DSL, no ACL. He's in he debuted in low A at 16 years old. And this July, he started shooting the fireworks a little early. He had three or four home runs this week, including his first multi-home run game as a professional. And not only were they multi-home run game, one was the opposite way and one was to dead central, which, you know, it's just spellbinding to watch what this young man is doing at such a young age. And it's also really fun to dream on what he can be, considering I just talked about his offense and his defense is pretty darn good too. You know, the Padres trusted him to throw bullpens to your Yu Darvishes of the world. They put him in a Cactus League game at 16 years old and he, you know, handled it with aplomb. It's really just impressive. And he might not have had the best overall week, but I tend to take prospect status into consideration. And given his prospect status, I thought he was worthy of the number one spot. Jeff, what do you think of Ethan Salas?
Yeah, I mean, it's been impressive. Hit a little bit of a lull there in June. But he's certainly hit the ground running so far in July, which is great to see. And I know it's only been 30 games, but overall numbers have been really good. We know about the defense, the receiving, the skills behind the plate. You know, I know that it's something that, you know, our colleague Carlos says quite a bit. I think especially when he's talking about the draft, that one thing the industry doesn't do a great job of is evaluating catcher defense. I do think Salas is a guy that, regardless of your skills there as an evaluator, I think it's fairly easy to see how talented he is. Just watching him, you know, behind the plate, receiving, throwing, blocking, etc. Skills are all there. We heard from international scouts the bat was legit too. That's starting to play out. And I think when you put into perspective, this guy is wouldn't be draft eligible until next year. It's kind of remarkable. You know, this is a guy that's the same age as 2024 high school picks, guys that are going to PG National this week, that Carlos or Carly went. I'm invoking Carlos's name multiple times in this, but I think it's a good comparison, you know, to think that this guy would be, you know, down there in Phoenix at PG National right now, you know, had he come the American high school route. And instead, he's playing a full season ball, and he's putting up four homer weeks, you know, pretty impressive. And yeah, I mean, the second most impressive player on this hot sheet this week, but we can get into who I think the most impressive is.
Well, end the suspense. Who's the most impressive?
Come on, man. It's the first time Chase DeLauder makes a hot sheet. Of course I'm going to say Chase DeLauder. The man hit 6'11 this week.
Yeah, 11
for 18. He's got six doubles, made the jump up to high A. This is a guy that I've been pounding the table on since I saw him in 2021 in the Cape, which is really his probably his largest stretch of healthy play in his career.
I was gonna say,
and his most productive. So, you know, I always have said that I felt like I had as good of a feel on Chase DeLauder as anybody who's in the industry, just because I was here the entire summer and saw, you know, more than a dozen games of him. So I'm excited to see him hit the ground running. I think he's an incredibly talented player, you know, all around. And it was funny. I was in Seattle, and when I get back from the ballpark, I'd, you know, throw on the television in the room, put on Root Sports, and they were playing all the old home run derbies from years ago. And it's funny. Frank Thomas has a similar back leg to DeLauder. And I know there was a lot made about DeLauder's sort of action and back leg, but there's a lot of good hitters that have a very similar action in their swing. On the golf side too, I think it's just a sign of athleticism and power. So yeah, I'm way in. I'm excited to see that he made it here. You know, was kind of in the weeds the last week. So your hot sheet was valuable for me to catch up on some performances that I might have missed, but DeLauder is one of my guys. So I got to call that one out.
I'm going to be honest. Like, I did this kind of in a blur. I'd forgotten Chase DeLauder was on this hot sheet. So good for you for reminding me. It's not where I thought we were going to go. This didn't come up in our frenzied pre-podcast scheduling. You ambushed me with Chase DeLauder, and for that, I will never forgive you. I'm a little annoyed that he skipped over Lynchburg, because I don't think I'll ever get to see him since Lake County doesn't come here.
Part of me wants to travel to Ohio.
Although
part of me wants to go to Ohio, go to Cleveland for a few days.
That's,
and go watch DeLauder.
That's funny. That sounds like the Ohio Department of Commerce, their slogan. Part of you wants to travel to Ohio. But you know, maybe when Akron comes to Richmond someday, I can go see him. But yeah, you've been very loud about Chase DeLauder, and you know, you try to get him on several lists, but I think it's hard to do it when he's not healthy forever.
Sure.
You know, he finally is healthy, you know, two separate foot injuries, and he's, you know, as you've said, hit the ground running, which is dangerous for a guy with two separate foot injuries. But he's doing well in Lake County, and good to see. You don't doubt the Guardians very often when it comes to the draft. Now, the guy I thought you were going to say, who had the most impressive week, who we talked about in our extremely formal pregame, pre-podcast meeting, was Grayson Rodriguez, who I saw twice this week. Now, if you are someone who listens to me regularly on these podcasts, first of all, I'm sorry. Second of all, you know that I've seen, before this week, I had seen Grayson three times. And none of the times was he, making air quotes here, Grayson Rodriguez. He was okay all three times. Not bad, not good, not, you know, number one pitching prospect in the game level. So this, I was hoping for better this first time, which was on July 4th, and I got better. I got a lot better. I got one of the most dominant pitching performances I've seen in 15 years doing this. I think it was the best minor league outing of his career. Struck out 12 over six innings. I think it was three hits, no walks, and he got an absurd 27 whiffs. He had them all on strings. He was the puppet master all night. He could do anything he wanted. Fastball, I think he touched 100, depending on whether you used Hawkeye or a radar gun or TrackMan. It was 99 point something. But he was regularly in the 96 to 98, touch 99, touch 100 sort of range. The changeup looked like it rolled off a table. The slider was a sharp breaker. The curveball was like the same kind of shape as the slider, but slower. So that's got to give hitters fits. He was just absolutely electric. Unfortunately, the bullpen blew it for him. The Durham Bulls scored six in the ninth inning to erase a five-run Norfolk lead. But regardless, he was really, really, really nasty. And then I saw him again on Sunday right before the draft. Looks like it was a pre-planned shorter outing. Not quite as good, but pretty good. He had some trouble locating arm side with the fastball, and he kept missing the outside corner. There was a couple of really long at-bats. I think it was one like 10, 11 pitch at-bat that wound up in a walk. Changeup was still pretty good. It was all pretty good. It wasn't the first outing, but it was pretty good. And so the result, I think, was 15 strikeouts this week in nine innings or something like that. So, yeah, he was the best pitcher on the hot sheet, and he's still in the conversation for best pitching prospect in the game, especially now that Yuri Perez has graduated. He versus Paul Skenes will be a discussion once Paul signs his first contract. But Jeff, you've seen Grayson before. What do you think of Grayson Rodriguez?
Yeah, I think it's encouraging to see the changeup was playing well. How did the slider look? That was the thing that when I was going for feedback when we updated the top 30s and then the top 100, we moved Hauser ahead of Grayson. Part of that was some concerns from some longtime scouts regarding Grayson's breaking ball quality. The changeup and fastball have always been there. Slider's been fine. I've been up and down on it over the years, but I've seen one of these starts before. I saw one in Hartford in 2019 where I thought it was outside of seeing Painter last year, actually against Hartford in September. I thought it was one of the most dominant starts I had ever seen from a young pitcher in the upper minors. So yeah, tend to agree. I'm glad that we got that back. He's kind of seems like he's back rolling again. So I'm interested to hear how was the quality of the slider, and
did you everything have was good. There wasn't a thing on the card that was lower than a six. It was filthy. That was what a big league number one ace looks like. He could do no wrong. Now, whether that's an outlier or what he's going to be in the big leagues is another story, but that was just pure witchcraft from pitch one to pitch 92. I left with my jaw unhinged at kind of what I'd seen that night. The Bulls had no shot. You could have sent Ripken the Bat Dog up there, and he would have had as good a chance against Grayson Rodriguez as any of the Durham Bulls that night. But yeah, so that was an easy choice for the best pitcher. And like I said, he versus Paul Skenes is going to be an interesting conversation for best overall pitching prospect in the minors. I don't know which way I'd lean on that, but I don't do much with the draft, but Paul Skenes seems like a superlative talent in just about every sense of the word. Jeff, we will talk. We talked a little bit about the futures game, and we will talk more about your week when we come back from this break.
I took 2 years of Spanish in high school. I took three more quarters of Spanish in college. And here I am. I work at a baseball publication, a baseball website, where speaking Spanish would be incredibly useful for my job. And I found that I don't retain almost any of it. But now I've got a different way to do this, a better way. With Babbel. Recently, I've been learning to speak Spanish with Babbel, and you can too, because with Babbel, you can start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks. It's the second best way to learn a language. The best way is through immersion, where you live where the language is spoken natively and everyone's using it every day. But that's not possible for everyone. It's not possible for me. So what's the second best way to learn a language? Babbel, because you can start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. I'm one of those 1 in 5. You can check it off this summer. Why Babbel? Because it works. Instead of paying hundreds of dollars for a private tutor or fooling yourself with language apps that are little more than games, Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. One of the things I love about it is it gives you the language in a variety of ways. You see it visually, you hear it, but the one that I like the most is Babbel's advanced speech recognition tells you if you're saying the words properly. And if you're not, it helps you. And that's key for me. With Babbel, you can learn everything you need to have real-world conversations, from vocabulary words to culture, and all it takes is 10 minutes a day. So try Babbel. Here's our special limited-time deal for our listeners to get you started right now. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our podcast listeners at babbel.com/BA. That's 55% off at babbel.com/BA. That's BABBEL.com/BA. Rules and restrictions may apply. Summer's here, and like probably a lot of you guys, we have a garden. And I love that ability to grow a tomato and basically pluck it from the vine and be eating it 20 minutes later. But our garden is very sporadic. And you probably have the same situation where you don't always have exactly what you want at the time you want it. Well, summer's here, and it's also a perfect time for HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. This summer, HelloFresh is here to take the work out of eating well. Reach your goals with delicious, calorie-smart, and protein-smart lunch and dinner options, plus new vegan recipes, too. You get farm-to-table quality with every HelloFresh box. HelloFresh's seasonal ingredients are picked at peak ripeness and travel from the farm to your doorstep in less than 7 days for fresh flavor in every bite, even when your garden doesn't provide it. I know that when I've cooked with HelloFresh, it is so easy that even I can do it. And trust me, if I can do it, I promise you, you can. HelloFresh gives the directions, gives you the exact ingredients, gives you the exact proportions to make a very, very good meal. Fresh, quick, and easy. Go to HelloFresh.com/16BA2023. That's 16BA2023 for 16 free meals plus free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/16BA. B as in boy, A as in alpha, 2023. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
And we're back. So, you know, I stayed home from Seattle, but you went to, like I said, the best coast. You went to the Futures game. I believe this is your second Futures game, yes? You've had two West Coast Futures games.
Yes.
Los Angeles and Seattle. How did you think of this one, and you know who stuck out for you in the Futures game?
It was all about the NL pitching for me, man. Jacob Mizorowski was unbelievable. He came into the game, threw 11 fastballs. I believe 10 of them were 100 miles per hour plus. He hit 102.4 miles per hour. Stuff was just filthy. Post game, when Lawrence Butler was interviewed, I believe by JJ, and Butler had talked about just how filthy the stuff was. You know, and you got that sort of like slutter type of slider that he has, that cutter slider hybrid. He's just dominant. I mean, he's just filthy. I was talking with somebody in the game and player development after that game. We were sort of texting about Mizorowski. And he had suggested, he's like, if this guy was in my org, I'd bring him up right now. Like, I wouldn't waste, you know, any of these pitches. This guy's so dominant. I think like right now you could have him get 5 outs out of the bullpen in the majors. No questions asked at all. So he was really good. Pre-game, in the batting practice rounds, one of the things that I've done the last 2 years, and personally, I think it's the most fun thing that I do with the Futures game, is JJ and I chart out and record, tally all the home runs that are hitting batting practice. And I missed some of the AL batting practice as I was getting up, because I was in the auxiliary boxes. So I had to travel from three levels up and then all the way around the distance of the stadium out to right field there at T-Mobile Park, which, by the way, was a beautiful park, one of the nicest parks I've ever been in. So sat down there, and the AL batting practice wasn't all that impressive. Junior Cameron Arrow was absolutely impressive. He had some nice shots. Spencer Jones had some nice shots. But when the NL came up, man, James Wood, huge rounds, you know, really impressive rounds. You know, but Brady House was the guy. Brady House, I think, hit three or four in a row. Sent multiple shots to his pull side up to the upper deck and to the deepest part of center field. House was showing some serious 70 juice, you know. That was big boy power. And that tells me that he is fully healthy if he's doing that in batting practice and hitting the way he was. And there were other rounds too, you know, within the NL group that were impressive. A few that were probably a little surprising even. But yeah, I was, I thought the big takeaway just from the batting practice side of things was definitely House. I mean, he was pretty filthy in those rounds, sending balls to, like I said, the deepest part of the park, the upper deck. And I don't, you know, not that I anticipated he would take a bad round, but with some of the names on both sides, I didn't anticipate that, you know, he was going to do exactly what he did. And just looking at some of the other ones, Yan Keel hit seven out. That was really impressive. You know, I was making sure I was paying full attention the whole time, but extra attention when Yan Keel was up there, because we were out in right field and Yan Keel's a lefty, and I know what kind of homers Yan Keel can hit. So didn't want to get new hearted by that. Oh, Jackson Merrill had a really, really good round. Jackson Merrill hit five homers, a lot to his pull side, which I thought was an encouraging sign. As we know, that's one of the big question marks with Merrill's profile, is can Merrill, you know, hit for power consistently? We'd like to see it in games more. It's starting to show up a little bit more, but I thought that was nice to see in that batting practice round.
Hold on. What the heck do you mean by new-hearted?
Oh, wow. I thought you're such an old soul. I thought you'd get that.
I'm not that old.
The New Heart show. That's how like New Heart like dies / like wakes up at the end of the show. He gets hit by a golf ball in the temple. So JJ and I were joking around that we were going to get, because we're old, apparently, we're going to get new-hearted by a ball and be either batting practice, or JJ was going to get hit by one last night in the home run derby, which I'm shocked he didn't, because the ball was flying out of there last night, man.
Oh, all right. I was going to say, I knew this had to do with Bob Newhart.
It's for the 50-plus crowd, maybe even the 60-plus crowd. That's probably more like my parents' generation kind of a joke, but I watched Newhart with them when I was a kid, you know.
I was gonna say my
Daryl and my other brother Daryl.
I'm gonna introduce you from now on as Fatty Arbuckle, you know, or Buddy Hackett, because those are comedians of that era too. So I guess you're no longer the parrot. You are.
Maybe it was actually Larry, Daryl, and Daryl. But anyway, yes.
I know nothing on that. I got nothing on that, Jeff. And it's weird because I did own the Button Down Mind record on vinyl. But this is a digression that I did not expect we would take. You did mention Jacob Mizorowski. Best stuff in the minors, period. Bar none, not a question.
Yeah, I think so.
It's him, and then there's a canyon between whoever you want to put it number two. I think. But I've got to see him several times, five, six times this year. And one last year in Instructs. Man, is he good. Man, yeah. I've had one scout suggest to me that he, not Jackson Churio, is the number one prospect in that system. If you really want to talk about, you know, how loud some evaluators are. you can find guys who think you could shove them in the bullpen and get outs in the big leagues tomorrow. I don't disagree with that. But you also find guys who believe that he has the potential to be a true number one. And with stuff like that, hard to really argue. I understand the delivery is what it is. The command may not be the best, but that's some really loud stuff that that produces, you know, more swords than the Knights of the Round Table, man. It's like firing wiffle balls out of a bazooka. They move and they're going really, really, really fast. He's got four pitches. The last start in low A, it was five innings. It was almost perfect. One hit batter, and the batter who got hit swung. The first base ump just didn't call it. But other than that, he was perfect. And it was like I was talking about Grayson. The Down East Wood Ducks that night did not have a chance. They may as well have come up there with boat oars instead of baseball bats, because that was equal chance with either piece of lumber. It was just absolute filth. And then when you see him in the Futures game, you go, oh, yeah, I've seen this movie before. This looks very similar. And the guys in the Futures game had zero shot against him. I guess the only one really hit against him was that check swing broken bat thing by I forget who it was. Got him, but impressive nonetheless. Yeah, that was my takeaway from the Futures game was Jacob Mizierowski is the proverbial filth monster. And he stuck out in a group of very, very impressive pitchers. And like I said, I wasn't there. I'll take your word on the Brady House BP show. And talking about Yankeel Fernandez, I remember two spring trainings ago, my last day was at Salt River. It was Rockies versus Diamondbacks because Jordan Lawler was in the game. It opened with Adeel Amador slicing one up the box. And then Yankeel Fernandez hit one that almost went out. I remember saying to a scout, like, hey, this is what it looks like, right? No more work needs to be done. This is what it looks like. It's like, yeah, these are two very, very good prospects. I still have that clip somewhere on my phone of those two swings back to back, just like, holy cow, what an impressive day by those two Rockies prospects. So Jeff, now we're in a little bit of a breather, I guess, if you're on the pro side. Unfortunately, there's been this thing called the draft last few days and continuing probably as we speak. But there's no minor league games outside of the DSL until Friday. Once Friday hits, do you plan to do anything game-wise?
Actually, man, I'm going to be going to games tomorrow night.
You have this thing called the Cape.
Yeah, I've been.
Odd League, I think it is.
Yeah, I was at the Futures game kind of feeling some kind of way, little FOMO, as Travis Banzana, probably my favorite prospect in college baseball, it's just been going off. Started a little slow, hit over 600 last week, recorded the first cycle in the history of the Falmouth Commodores, as long as they've been keeping statistics in the Cape Cod League. That's how long it's been since somebody has done what Banzana did on Sunday or Saturday, actually. So I'm excited to get out there and see him. I didn't have an opportunity to see him before I left. I know Peter did. So I'm planning on getting out there. If I can get out there tonight, I might even get out there tonight, as long as my wife won't kill me. But I mean, you're talking about, in organization here, with the Commodores that I believe has been around since the beginning of, the league. You're talking about like the 1923. I don't know specifically when they started keeping stats. I'm going to guess it was probably some point in the 60s. So pretty unbelievable what he's doing right now. So I'm excited to see him. Plus, this gives me a really good feel for next year's draft class. Certainly did this year. Most of the players that I know going through, especially day two, I see a lot of day two guys in the Cape. And there's a lot of talent in those rounds, right? I mean, it's not just the first two rounds where good players are coming from. So being able to see a lot of these guys firsthand, get, you know, a foundation on what they can do and what they can't do, and what they build from is, I think, incredibly valuable. Makes me better at my job, and allows me to do some work on the draft and stuff like that when I'm out there. So these are names that we're going to see called next year. We're down there in Arlington, Texas. So I'm excited to see how it all shakes out. Going to get out there for at least a few days this week, and then we'll see over the weekend, depending upon when Salamento's going in New Hampshire. I'll definitely boogie up there to see him.
I don't know. I don't think we have a whole lot going on around here, even once the weekend starts. Durham is on the road in St. Paul. Altoona is in Harrisburg. I think there's like one team around, and I don't remember which it is, but I think I'm going to have a free weekend to do whatever it is I do. I think you follow Twitter, you know it, whatever it is I do, which is look for birds. That's my weekend. I am still trying to figure out the mechanics of a trip to Florida here soon. And if you know me, you know me and travel planning is a lot like Liz Lemon and schedule making. If you're fans of 30 Rock, which I believe is a show that came on a few years after Newhart went off the air. Maybe it's for the younger viewers.
Slightly younger viewers. We're still
slightly younger viewers. Here. I say that, but it's been off the air for at least a decade, I think. So I am dating myself a little bit. But yeah, and this particular trip has really vexed me in a lot of ways. So I do want to get down there. Oh, that's a perfect transition, because the one guy we didn't talk about on the hot sheet is the helium guy. And it's my number one target if I go down to the Florida Complex League at some point. And that is Yankees left-hander Henry LaLanne. He signed a couple years ago. A couple years in the DSL and is just making a stateside debut this year. He sounds really interesting. What really, you know, piques my interest is the combination of body control and athleticism and stuff and youth. And that's a really, really, really good mix to have. I talked to a scout the other day about him, and he mentioned all those positive factors to say that if all those coalesce the way Yankees would like and the way Henry would like, you could have the makings of a really, really promising rotation piece. So yeah, that would be a target for me if and when I go down to Florida. I know Jeff is planning to go down to Florida too, so we possibly, maybe, could be, might be, have Florida blanketed pretty good in the coming weeks. But yeah, next week for me, or this the rest of this week for me is mostly just home. I think if I don't go to Florida next week, Kannapolis comes to Zebulon, and they will have Noah Schultz, who is very, very good. He's up there on the best arms I've seen this season, even though every time I see him, it's like abbreviated. I think he's gone this year is three innings. I saw two turns ago where unfortunately he was supposed to go three innings, but rain happened, as so often happens here on the East Coast. During the summer, it meant he only threw 17 pitches. Now, 15 of them were strikes, which is pretty good. And that spanned one inning or two innings. I'm sorry. So pretty good outing, but I was hoping for more. But you know, humidity, rain happens. That's more or less what I'm looking for in the next couple weeks, and that's what the hot sheet and the futures game looks like. Jeff, do you have anything else to add?
No, man. It's been a good show, but good to be back. A little bear and parrot.
Good show to be back. Reminder, no hot sheet a week from now because the minor league schedule is pretty short.
Three games.
Well, and a lot of games in the DSL. Do not forget the DSL. You got to get them young. We will have another DSL bapper today. For Jeff in Massachusetts, I'm Josh in North Carolina saying so long.